Welcome to the Bible study on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, filling in today for Roland Lettner, your normal host. He'll be back on Monday, the Lord willing. We are glad that you're with us today to open up God's holy word and be blessed by contemplating at some length just a small portion of that today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 20. So welcome aboard. You can participate in the show calling in your questions or your comments in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850. Around the country, 1-800-730-2727, or you may email your comments or questions at kfuo@kfuo.org. Our guest today, Pastor Michael Walters from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, a regular here on the Bible study. We thank God for that, Pastor Walters.
Glad to be here. Enjoy studying God's Word with God's people, that's for sure.
Can't do any better as under-shepherds than proclaiming God's Word, can we?
That's exactly right. I can't believe I get paid to do that sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Would you do us the honor of asking God to be with us and bless us?
Let's do. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, for our physical life, our spiritual life. Thank you for your church and your Word, and we ask your blessings as we turn to it, to learn and understand and to be strengthened in our faith. And we ask all of this in your name, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. How was Easter there in Collinsville?
Wonderful. We had a lot of wonderful opportunity to worship and really lift the praises up to the Lord for all that he has done for us.
It's always exciting and new and fresh every year, isn't it?
It is. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. I love that season.
As tiring it is for pastors in most places, it's a good kind of tiredness, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Definitely.
What exciting things are going on there at Good Shepherd that you want to alert the world to?
Well, we really got through a whole lot of stuff here with Easter. We still do our confirmation on Palm Sunday, and so those are big things. But we do have a new adult confirmation class beginning next week, Tuesdays, and that's a big new step again for us, a kind of a continual process of discipling and bringing people into understanding of the basics of the Christian faith. So we're looking forward to that.
You know, I've always felt that that's a thing that we don't toot our horn enough about, because not only is it great to go through and explore what the Bible really teaches, but Lutherans, you know, we have the great Luther's Catechism and other things to help us through. So I think we ought. What times on Tuesday?
Tuesday nights from 7 to 8:30, and you're right. I think I get a lot of compliments from those who go through our instructions, because the usual thing they say is, you really helped to put it all together for me. A lot of people, I know everybody in this world is somewhere on a journey of faith, you know, whether they're journeying away from the Lord or whether they're coming closer and better in their understanding of him. And I always like to take people and think about what they've already experienced and lift them up a little further and a little closer. And a lot of people get their understanding of the faith in bits and pieces, and it's not always very well covering the full counsel of God and the really heart and core basic things like what we're going to see in this particular lesson today. It's important that we get the richness and the fullness of God's Word and His truth.
You know, I love what God does with painting word pictures, and one of the ones that he likes to paint about spiritual life or lack of is that it was a plant. Mm-hmm. So as a spiritual plant, humans are either growing or they're dying or withering, and they're never staying the same. And so we know as pastors, that's having your spiritual roots down deep into God's Word. And so adult instruction class, a great. I always encourage my people, I bet you do this too, my own members, to take it as a refresher course.
They do. We get some people that do that, and I really think that's a good thing for them to do.
Yeah, and those that did it under me just said how much they realized they did not know, and they love getting deeper into it. So We encourage all of you near Collinsville to check out Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. Can they go on your website, Pastor
Walters? They can,
Walters,
you bet.
And get contact information how to get into this class.
Sure.
Great. Let's get right into it then from Luke chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on Jesus at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness, and so he said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." So he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able, in the presence of the people, to catch him in what he said. But marveling at his answer, they became silent. Wow. So, you know, this is one of those great passages where these opponents, enemies of our Lord, are trying to catch him and use something against him. And here it's treason. Treason to the government. And, you know, they think they got him. Either way goes on answering the question. And Jesus springs it out of him and turns it around, yeah. Doesn't it?
You know, this, as I was looking this over a little bit again to get ready for today, I like to think about, as I interpret the Bible, I've used before the idea that I need a map to kind of guide me through God's Word. And one of the most important parts of that map is that I look at the Word of God like I look at a map. I need to get it oriented in the right way, so I need to know what north and south is. And in that sense, also, I need to always be understanding the difference between the law and the gospel. And we will look at that in this passage, as we do in all scripture passages. But you know, maps come in different layers. So like today, if you use like Google Maps or something like that on your computer, you can get the street view. Okay. Now I would compare that maybe to the law gospel type thing. Very critical doctrines that apply to all people, all humanity. And then, you know, but you can also get the view with, you know, like the satellite view, you know, and you get another. It's the same map, but you're looking at it now from a little bit different.
8 miles high,
yeah,
rather
yeah.
than driving down the street.
Right, and so you see all the green or the brown colors of the
You see the water places.
Exactly.
All of those. Yeah.
You can even see you can see if there are mountains and things like that. So that's another view, and here's another view that we need to be paying attention as we approach this passage. And that is the whole issue of Israel and the Gentiles and the whole thing that goes all the way back to Moses, where God established his people Israel. And yet Moses prophesied and the prophets after him continued to prophesy that these folks, many of them, would fall away. And they would resist God, and that they would reject His grace and His promises, and that would culminate in the appearing and revealing of the Messiah. And that's exactly what we see happening in Jesus' ministry, especially this last part of the ministry, and what we see happening here in Holy Week, and Jesus being tested, rejected. They're trying to trip him up, and they're trying to kill him. They sought to lay hands on him, and they wanted to deliver him over to the governing authorities because, you know, they knew what that meant. That meant they could get rid of him and put him to death, or at least silence him in some way. And so many of the parables of Jesus, well, you just covered recently the parable of the wicked vine dressers. And there again, Jesus is dealing with that rejection, the rejection that his people would have toward him. And yet, at the same time, the fact that he's going to bring many in. And there are many nations that will come to the faith and come to Christ as they are drawn in by the Holy Spirit. And it happened. It's the fulfillment of prophecy here for us to see this taking place and to realize it. So that's one angle that we should look at. Another important angle, and sort of another layer, map layer maybe, so to speak, is the two kingdoms. And we see that being presented here very much in the sense that God rules over the world in different ways. One way, through secular authorities that he establishes, like Caesar, and also through his word in his kingdom, in the church. And so here Jesus really lays out one of the most foundational passages for our understanding of that, when he says, render unto Caesar and unto God the things that are God's.
I like the way you said that, because clearly stated that God rules in both parts of those kingdoms, in the secular government and in the church, where some people think he only supposed to rule over in the church side and nothing to do with the secular side. But we know, as you kind of stated, it's a different kind of ruling.
Right.
He's still king over there too.
Absolutely.
And his will is still being done, which is amazing to us, and we struggle with it, I think. And so I thank you very much for bringing that up. Let's make sure we set the 8 miles high view of what's the context here. Where in the ministry of Jesus are we, and that kind of thing.
Well, this is the we read that on Palm Sunday that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and to the praises of his followers. And then he spends his time during that week teaching in the temple. And this teaching time was very contentious. This is where we get these last confrontations. And so that's where we are in his ministry. And so we're in Jerusalem, and we're coming eventually to the betrayal and to the cross.
So this is Holy Week.
Holy Week, right.
Yeah.
And so...
What's the threat to these guys, these scribes and Pharisees that are attacking him? What is the big deal with these people?
That's a good question. In verse 22, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And so they are frustrated with the fact that they don't possess the power, the theocracy that they're used to in Israel. The foreign government is in control of their land, and so they aren't accepting, in a way, they aren't accepting the judgment and the discipline of God upon them. This is all part of that, again, going back to Moses, where he said, this is where God has set this all up, but it's all going to fall apart. And yet there's a prophet that's coming. Of course, that prophet will be Jesus. So they just refuse to acknowledge the trouble they're in. And they're not going to resist Caesar in any other way. To throw him out or something like that. They need to repent. They need to come to faith in God, in his grace, in his mercy, and to realize the ultimate plan that God has, going back again to Moses or to Abraham, that in you all the families of the world will be blessed. And that, again, they don't see that bigger picture of the purpose of Israel to bring salvation to all nations. And so there's that kind of we're just going to take care of ourselves mentality.
Okay. So they've really lost the control they used to have of running the church and the state. The Romans have taken that over. And you know, now they've got this Jesus guy who the first verse there, 19, says they want to lay hands on him. And I guess it's not to congratulate him or to buddy up to him. It's to hands for something else. So what's the threat that Jesus poses to these guys and even to people today?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the threat is that he's calling them out in their unbelief. He's calling them to repentance. That goes all the way back to the beginning of his ministry. Remember also John the Baptist's ministry, that call to repentance. And you had some that were repenting. You know, you had these people coming out. You had these soldiers. You know, what must we do? You know, and don't John, you know, tells them, you know, it's assuming they did repent. I think we can make that assumption, because then he goes on to tell them about, you know, you need to bring forth the fruits of repentance. But the Jewish leaders came out to listen to John, and they were like, we don't need to repent, and we got the fruit, so we're not listening to you. That initial confrontation continues all the way through the ministry of Jesus, because Jesus preaches the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven.
Repent and believe is the first sermon, right?
Law gospel. That's gospel thing. It's right there. And they just won't accept that. They don't have that sense. Jesus tells the parable about the Pharisee who goes to the temple to pray, and all he does is thank God for how good he is. He doesn't breathe a word of repentance. The other man, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, that's the man who was justified, made righteous. And this conflict is the conflict that's at the root of all of it. And it's the root conflict between Christianity and all other religions.
Yeah.
Because this is the essence of Christianity, that it is a matter of repentance and forgiveness to be in God's kingdom, to be under his blessings. And there are just so many people that refuse to look at it that way.
And it not only irritates them, but even in this case, and I think even in today, it angers them. And so they want to kill him, just because they know that he's preaching a different theology than they do, and they want to get rid of him. They know it's competitive. One of us is going to win, and they want to be the winners. We are Worldwide KFUO, and so we have listeners not only in the St. Louis area, but here in the United States and around the world. And we have a gentleman in Texas on the line, Bob, who would like to make a comment, Pastor Walters. So welcome to the Bible study, Bob. Where in Texas are you?
I was DeSoto, just south of Dallas.
Wow, that's where I came from before I went in the seminary. I love Dallas. Big D.
Oh, you a Texan?
No. I grew up in the Rocky Mountains, but I worked in Dallas for 6 years, and I loved it. I loved the Cowboys, and I loved Big D.
Oh, yeah,
and,
Cowboys are good.
Yeah, the only team I root more than the Cowboys is the Broncos, because that's where I grew up. So, but I love the Cowboys. Bob, what's your comment? Thanks for listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Yeah, what I wanted to point out was that this question to Jesus was really kind of a starter for, if he was really going to be doing what the Jews expected the Messiah to do, which was lead a revolution and we're going to throw out these Romans. This was going to give him an opportunity to say that, and then of course they would say, "Oh, he's a traitor. We got to do something with him." And so, this was a really tricky question from the standpoint of what the Jewish leaders expected from a Messiah, and yet were afraid of, because they didn't really want to see somebody come in and ruin the little cozy thing that they had with the Romans.
Right. They did not care for these insurrectionists, because they just brought trouble, and Rome was just too strong. And you're right. I mean, politically, there were different camps. It's the same way in Israel today. Totally the same. When I was there and I got to talk with a lot of the people, I could sense this tension. I was in a study center with a rabbi who carried a 9mm pistol on his hip. He was on a hit list for the Muslims, he said, because this guy was all about rebuilding the temple.
Oh, yeah.
And he told us, we don't need you Americans. You know, God will help us. We can throw these unbelievers out. We can retake everything. And then you talk to a guy like that, and then you talk to other, like our guide, who said, those guys scare us to death. Those guys are...
And cause problems for the rest of us,
The leadership of Israel is very concerned about those kinds of people.
Zionists, is that what you would call those, Pastor Walters?
That's a big term, covers a lot of things, too. But it's exactly the same way today as it was back then. In Jesus' day, you also had these insurrectionists, and then you had the people that, let's maintain the status quo.
Don't rock the boat.
And we don't like the Romans being in control of things, but if we get them angry, you know, they're not afraid of putting 1,000 crosses up and down the roads and simply, you know, crushing us.
They did that in 70 A.D.
And it finally came to that in 70 A.D. Yeah. That's exactly right. And so, it's amazing. It is amazing to me to see how alive these scriptures are. That when I was in Israel and I'm listening to these people talking about all of these things, and I say, nothing has changed. Christ is still the answer, because the answer is not in who's got the most M16s and so on, but who has righteousness from God in Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer Jesus came to bring, and those with ears to hear heard it.
Bob, thanks for that great comment, and thanks for listening there in wonderful Dallas, Texas.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Now, Pastor, it's amazing to me here that they try to trick Jesus by actually lying, saying in public, and I like the way you couch this whole thing. He's teaching in the temple in Holy Week, and they say, we know that you teach and speak rightly, and they really don't believe it, but they acknowledge in public Jesus is the real prophet, don't they?
They do, and this is a very, very important part of identifying Jesus as the Son of God and the Messiah. Lawyers and jurists have a name for this. When your opponent concedes something like that, that is likely to be very true. You know, and so it's an affirmation of Jesus being a man of truth, and not a just an ordinary human being either. You know, his enemies acknowledge these things. You're an honest, you're good, you tell the truth, you don't show partiality.
And it teaches the way of God to a Jew at that time. That's huge, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the plan of salvation.
Absolutely, right.
So they concede that. Wow, so Jesus is probably going, this is great.
Yeah. Then it says in 19, but they feared the people, and so they, because they knew that what they were planning to do to get rid of Christ was going to upset those who would come to hear and believe in him.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, listen, we have listeners not only in Dallas, Texas today, but I looked at it on the analytics before I came down to the studio. We have them in faraway places, Mexico, Japan, Australia, San Jose, California, 32 states in the United States, and probably more waking up and tuning us in. So you can too. Call in 1-800-730-2727 or email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. Here in the St. Louis area, 505-7850. Call or email us in a question here on the Bible study. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Bible study. Pastor Rod's one of us are filling in for host Roland Lettner. Day off. Be back with us Monday. Our guest today, Pastor Michael Walters from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor, when we left off, we were looking at that passage where they, in trying to trick our Lord, they, you know, give him the assumption that he's a true teacher. He shows no partiality. He truly teaches the way of God. And then they try to zap him. Don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we want to get into this trickiness and trying to accuse our Lord of treason, which they bring up at his trial. But what does he mean here by show no partiality?
Well, you know, as human beings, we always live with this tension of, do I please God or do I please men? And we, even as Christians, we want to please God, and yet we're torn apart by that. And it's very, there's really no human being that could ever do that perfectly. Jesus is amazing to me. As I read the Gospels, and as I get to know him in the Gospels, I just realize he's the guy who will cut me no slack. He tells me what I need to hear in terms of my sins, but at the same time, he is able to deliver to me everything I need to hear about God's love and God's grace. And so it's just kind of, you know, it has to be a divine thing that this is God I'm talking to here. He doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't give in to me and my manipulating. All human beings are manipulators.
Yes.
In a certain way. And God will not be manipulated, which is a good thing, because he's there to clear out and to wash away our sins. And to do that, he has to expose them for us. So he shows no partiality. He gives no favors to anybody. I struggle. I mean, we struggle with this all the time. I had an eighth grader get a little upset with me this week, you know, because I called him out on talking in class and disrupting the class, you know, and first thing out of his mouth was, well, what about so-and-so, you know? And I didn't quite, you know, in his perception, I didn't bring the justice perfectly across to every kid in that class. I can't do it as a human being. I can't
do it. Or even the hardest one for me always was, don't you love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? It's like a kid when you're disciplined by your parents. Mm-hmm. Don't you love me? And my dad used to say, you know, I discipline you because I love you a lot. And I go, you must love me a way lot because you discipline me a whole bunch. Now, that I love the way you set up that tension between pleasing the people or pleasing God. You know, did Jesus ever say when somebody misused, misapplied, misinterpreted the Bible, would he ever say, I'm going to be silent or that's okay, but it's not right, but that's okay, I'm not going to call you on it? Would he ever do that?
He would never overlook.
No, he always had that opportunity to correct, to rebuke, mm-hmm. to change. Because I was going to go with that. Do you think it's because he really loves us?
It is. You know, it's let's translate this a little bit to, let's just say, your health, physical health. When you go to the doctor, do you want a doctor who's afraid to tell you have a disease? No, you want a doctor. Give it to me straight, doc.
Yeah, I want you as a doctor, not as my friend.
Right.
I have to pick and choose between friend or doctor. I want doctor.
Exactly.
Same with the pastor, right?
Yeah, and pastors need to do this, and it's hard. It's challenging. It's hard. First of all, we can't always discern the, you know, all of the different aspects of sin in a person's life. So we have to be careful not to, you know, go off on things that we're not sure of. But when we see something that's wrong, we need to explain that and point that out.
Good. Now, let's give an example of that. We have the heart of this where they are from the very outset trying to trick Jesus and because they want to lay hands on him, kill him, which they eventually do. So they watch him. They pretend to be sincere by telling him he's a great teacher. He's giving them the plan of salvation. But then they give him the zinger. Trying to catch him. Verse 22, is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? How appropriate with tax day being on Monday?
Right, exactly.
Is it proper for us Christians to pay these exorbitant taxes to the IRS or not?
And you know, we struggle also in some of the same things that they're struggling with here. For example, I'm sure, you know, it's a frustration to them, as it is to us, that you give tax or tribute to a government that then takes that money and does bad things with it.
Yeah, you don't mind the good things. I never mind the good
things.
It's just the things that I think that my money could be better done with than what they manage it. And it's our money. It's not their money. And this is, I think, what they're saying, right?
Right. I think they're frustrated with some of the same things that we are with our government. And yet we still have to honor them, even though, because God has allowed them to be over us. And so, for example, the prophet Jeremiah tells the people when they were in captivity in Babylon, pray for the city to which God has sent you, because in its peace you will find peace. Well, God knew Babylon was far from, you know, perfect. It was evil. And yet there was a purpose for it, and there's a purpose for Rome. And they need to see beyond that, and so Jesus will give them the answer they need. They do need to pay their tax and their tribute.
You started us off with a great view of, you called it layers of maps, I believe, and I really like that. You talked about law and gospel and all that, and so it starts out, is it of the law of God that we give tribute to Caesar? What do they mean by lawful and giving tribute to Caesar?
Right. Well, they are operating from the point of view of the law of Moses. And in the law of Moses, here's the thing. Moses said that they were not to put a foreigner over them, okay? And they were not to have any foreign leader. And so this is why Herod, you know, the old Herod at the time of Jesus' birth was controversial, because he's part Jewish and part Gentile, and that was an irritant, because Moses said we're not supposed to have a foreigner over us. But they're confused about their own, as they often were, about the interpretation of the law of Moses. Same thing comes up with divorce. They misunderstand Moses. And here what I think they're doing is, yeah, it's not right to have a foreign leader over your people, but you didn't choose this leader. The reason you have him is because you made other choices in the past, such as worshiping Baal, such as disregarding the needs of your neighbor, and all the things that caused the dispersion in the first place. And so they're misusing the law of Moses here when they're trying to say, you know, trying to get Jesus to say, yeah, it's okay to honor a foreign king. And they'll say, well, look, Moses said we're never supposed to do that. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not contradicting Moses here. What he's saying is, the covenant under Moses, you broke, just as the prophet said the same thing. And God brings a new covenant. And so the way of Moses is not going to work anymore.
And we're talking about kings and kingdoms. You know, remember back initially that when the people wanted a king because their neighbors did, you know, and God says, you really don't need a king, you got me, but I'll give you one. And then you won't like him, because he'll take your kids, put them in his armies,
right?
And he'll take your taxes.
Yeah.
So, but you were talking about the two kingdom concept, where God really puts these authorities in, and he uses them in the way of the Lord, doesn't he? His plan of salvation.
And he did that a lot. You know, he used Cyrus to bring the people of Israel back to the land.
Yeah.
And that's see, I think sometimes these leaders in the day of Jesus, just they got lost in the law of Moses, and they disregarded the other parts of the law of Moses, such as I mentioned earlier, the covenant to Abraham, which is a covenant that extends God's grace to all the nations eventually. And so, you know, they had misused the misunderstood their purpose as the people of Israel. Their purpose as the people of Israel is to bring righteousness to the world, a light to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Simeon praises God.
That's great.
And they had this dislike and hatred for all these other nations, and they just didn't realize, no, your purpose is to save these nations.
Yeah, you're a light to the nations.
And so that's what they just are. They've gone off the rails. They've gone off the rails, even under the law of Moses.
You know what's cool here, too, and I would have you talk about is, you know, up in 20, they want to catch him in something he says, so to deliver him up to the authority of the governor, which would have been Pilate. Then we have that wonderful exchange between Jesus and Pilate, right?
Right.
About who put him in there, and what does Jesus say to him?
Well, you know, I wouldn't be here under your authority unless God had caused that and allowed that. Absolutely.
I wonder what Pilate thought when he said that to him.
Yeah, you know, Pilate here, again, all human beings probably think more highly of themselves than they should, you know, whether it be these Jewish leaders or whether it be Pilate, who thought he was in control of things when he found out he wasn't in the end, you know, when he had to release Barabbas and hand over Jesus, and he didn't want to do that. But it was his political concession that he had to do.
And I was thinking there, you know, his wife, Pilate's wife, had a dream and told him about it. Don't mess with this guy.
Yeah.
And so he's scared, kind of scared of that. It must have been, you know, tweaked a little bit in the side when Jesus says that to him. You know, I wouldn't be here unless we gave you this authority to do this.
Again, here's the thing that's coming out in all of this. Everybody thinks they can manipulate Jesus.
Yeah, back to manipulating humans.
Nobody manipulates Jesus. They think they can. These guys think they can trick him. Pilate thought he could politically solve that problem. No way.
We never do in the Missouri Synod, though, do we, Pastor Walters?
It's our human nature to try to do that.
Just do this program, and Jesus is going to bless you. He's got to.
Right. Yeah, and we all struggle. We all struggle with this. This is why he is. This is why Thomas would say, "My Lord and my God." You know that this is this is not just another man, not just another good teacher coming along, but this truly is God in the flesh. And as I've often told people, if you whatever picture you want to think of God from all of Scripture, if you look in the face of Christ, you see God. And you want to know what he's like.
Answer their crafty challenge to try to pin him down, he uses an object lesson, almost like a children's sermon, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, the coinage. The coin is the economic system, and that's something that the government that rules because God has allowed them to rule, they have control of that. And so it's a symbol, really, of the benefit that the government did provide for the people. And although the Roman government was far from sanctified, they did do good things. They did punish evildoers, as Paul says in Romans. You know, that's one of their purposes, is to punish the evil and reward the good. And to a degree, they did do that, and so they were fulfilling God's purpose in that way. And the coin is simply a reminder to everybody of that purpose that God had given them.
So what does he mean when he shows Caesar's likeness and says, okay, now here's my point. Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What things are Caesar's?
Our respect, and to going back, I would take this back to the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and so what's a father and a mother? Yeah, are they always perfect? No, they're not perfect, but it's quite obvious God gave them to you. If you disrespect them, then you're disrespecting God who gave them to you. Now, there are other things in life that are given to us by God, too, like governments, and since they have been given to us by God, we have to show some respect to them, recognize that to the degree that they are doing what God has caused them to do, then we need to show respect for that. Now, we know Peter will later, you know, we Christians get into conflict with the governments. And so when the government told Peter and John to stop preaching in Acts 5, Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. So ultimately, you know, we do show the ultimate respect to God, to the Lord. But we also do show respect to our government, even though we may disagree with that government and what they're doing. They could be doing, I mean, the Roman government did a lot of bad things. And yet, Jesus says, pay your taxes.
And we started kind of with saying that who institutes these authorities, these governments, God does.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses them in his plan of salvation. And I like where you took us with the Google Maps. Mm-hmm. You can easily flip between the street view mm-hmm. or the 8 miles high from the satellite view. And boy, when you're down in the street view like we are, we can't really tell exactly what's God doing with the mm-hmm. governing authorities, right?
Right, right.
But the 8 miles high view, we see all of time. Mm-hmm. We could see it very clearly. He puts them in, takes them out, and he uses them for saving people, doesn't he?
That's absolutely right. And sometimes he uses wicked rulers to discipline his people and test their faith. And so that's still serving a purpose. It's not going to do any good to hate them.
No.
You know, to the extent that they do bad things, they are puppets, and Satan is pulling the strings on their arms and legs. And so we can't hate them. And Jesus doesn't hate these guys. You know, that's the other beautiful thing about him is that he points out what's wrong. But he doesn't, you know, show hatred and animosity toward them. And he simply lays the truth before them. And the hope and prayer always for us all is that everyone who hears the word of God and the truth of God would be turned by it and repent of their sins and receive mercy and forgiveness from God.
That's a great comment there. Let's spend some time in the second half of our Lord's usefulness of that coin. You know, we've talked about some of the things that we're to give to the government, to the Caesars in our worlds. How about the things that are God's that we should give mm-hmm. to him and not to any human, any government? You know, they're the thing where you're saying, there's the first commandment. No, we can't go with you, government. In this case, this is God's, and we're going to give it to God.
Yeah.
What are those things?
That's a great thing to think about. What do I give to God? I would say the first thing that I give to God would be my faith.
Trust?
My trust in him.
Yeah.
And then my time. As I'm thinking now about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, I take time to listen to him talk to me in his word, and I respond with my prayers. You know, give to God the things that are God. Jesus said earlier, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Wow.
What does that mean? Well, I think it means that we are receiving God's word, letting God's word do its good in us, and being forgiven and being shown the way of truth and of love, loving your neighbor, then responding to God's word to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the things that we are giving to God.
You know, I love what you said there about what God really wants us to spend time hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And you know what got me, and maybe I'll just share this and see what you think. When I was just a layperson, as I was telling Bob in Dallas, I really felt I had to give time with God to be in his word, but I give him some of the crummiest time of my day
because mm-hmm.
I was a busy executive, so I'd work all day. I'd come home with a briefcase. I'd do a bunch of work at home, feed my face, and then I'd lay down and try to get God's word. And I'd typically wake up, and there the word of God would be on my face.
Right.
And so I said, I need to give him better time for his word, so I'd reverse it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was even more blessed at work.
Yes.
And so was that one of the things, is give God some of your best time so he can touch your life and lead you and give you more faith, more trust?
I really believe in that, and I believe that that's exactly what Jesus means when he says, seek first the kingdom of God.
There you go.
And his righteousness, and all these things will
all
be added.
All the others will be added on. And we get it the other way, don't we?
Right. We want to chase around trying to make sure we get all those other things straight.
And then if we have any time or energy left, we might give it to you, Jesus.
Exactly. And so, yeah, give to God the things that are God's, and we give him our time. We give him our meditation. We give him the efforts of trying to live according to God's word. And although it's not perfect, it's still good that we strive to do that. And so our good works become ways for people to see the goodness of God working in our life.
Or as Luther would like to say, little Christ. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, see a little bit of Christ in us.
Yes, yes.
I remember when I was first encouraged, being down there in Dallas, to consider first fruits giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that word better than tithing.
First fruits,
because I can give more than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't sure. And an old man down there that had been doing it for years said, Rod, when I stepped out in faith and started doing this, we never missed anything.
Yes.
And I said, he said, there were months where we didn't know how, but God took care of it. There's the Matthew 6 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seek first his kingdom, and then all these other things he'll take care
of. That's exactly right.
He's really good at keeping that, isn't he?
He is. We had a man in our congregation. His wife was kind of the spiritual sort of leader at first in their marriage. That changed. He came along and really did become a great spiritual leader in the family. But at one point, you know, she emphasized we need to tithe, and he said okay. But then an opportunity came up where he got to work overtime for a year, and he told her no tithing on this overtime. That's for me. He said,
God's got enough, I need some.
Yeah, God's got everything he asked for, and this is extra, and I'm going to... And he said, after the year passed, he had all that overtime, extra income, he said, and we were not any farther ahead than we were at the beginning of that year. He said, if anything broke down that could break down, it did break
it
down.
Did break,
you know,
yeah,
every
yeah.
So what you think you are getting by not recognizing as a gift to God, you know, it like Jesus says, moth, rust, thief.
Yeah,
these things are going to get destroyed.
Yeah, it might bless you for a little bit, but mm-hmm. They're not going to be the thing that you're going to be blessed by for any length of time. Pastor Michael Walters of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. What a good time we've had here, walking with Jesus and listening to his opponents try to take him. And so thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
And you have an adult information class mm-hmm. starting up.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, 7 p.m.?
7 to 8:30, correct.
And yeah. All are invited?
All anybody who's interested is welcome to come.
Do they need to call in advance so materials can be there, or
if they could, that would help. Otherwise, we should be ready. Otherwise,
just
forget, just show up.
Just show up, and God will give you the good stuff.
That's right.
And your website?
GoodShepherdCollinsville.org.
GoodShepherdCollinsville.org. Thanks again for being our guest.
Thank you.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is the Bible Study. I'm Pastor Rod Zwanzer, filling in for our host, Roland Lettner, who will be back with us, the Lord willing, on Monday. And we invite you to come back then, where we continue to unload God's Word to you around the globe, that your spirit might be filled. It might be led by this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, who always does what these tricky guys tried to show against him, that he truly is the one who speaks and teaches the truth, shows no partiality. This is for every human being, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he really wants us to give the government the things of the governments, including our taxes, our honorable, honest taxes, and the things to God. And we would invite you, especially next week, Thursday and Friday, that's the 18th, 19th, and 20th, to join us here all day for our Share-a-thon. This is the only chance of the year where we ask you to continue to listen, support, and pray for us. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.